Hi, I'm Jason Mefford, and you're in the right place to start transforming your career and life with this podcast. I've been in the trenches as an executive leader, and now I'm an executive coach and confidential advisor to executives all over the world. I use a multidisciplinary approach to improve learning that drives transformation by getting to the root cause in a practical, no-nonsense way. I love learning and sharing what makes people tick. You get both education and entertainment, since learning shouldn't be boring, right? But that's enough about me. This podcast is a combination of intuitive leadership, neural influence, and mental mastery to take your career and life to levels you've never thought possible. If you're wanting to improve yourself, develop stronger relationships professionally and personally, make quicker, better decisions, and become a more effective leader, then of course, this podcast is for you because you are going to learn how to manage emotions in yourself and others, avoid burnout, stress, and anxiety, master your mind, get people to listen and take action, and become a lifelong learner. And when you do that, you will have a positive mental attitude, executive leadership presence, and the skills to know exactly what to say and do in any situation. I'm glad you're here. So, let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Jamming with Jason. Hey, today I have my good friend Jen Stillion with me. And, you know, we talk sometimes about getting out of our head and give you some different tools in order to do that, right? Because sometimes we just ruminate over and over and over again. And it's like, how do I get out of my head? How do I stop thinking? And Jen is one of those people that helps people get out of their head and get out of some of the self-doubt. So I'm excited to have Jen on with me. So whatever you do, make sure and listen to this whole episode. In fact, this is probably one of those episodes you might want to listen to more than once. And you're probably, after you listen, going to want to share it with all of your friends and family. So with that, let's roll that episode. Hey, Jen. How you doing, my friend?
Good.
Woo! I know it's like I figured there's going to be a little chair dancing. There's going to be a little fun here because you're one of those people that kind of like lights up the room. And one of the reasons why I love you and what you do. But it's so maybe just spend a minute just kind of telling people, you know, kind of what you do, how you help people come out of some of this overthinking and self-doubt, because, you know, I know your business is transitioning a little bit, but you've helped people do this a lot. You know, how have you done that? And then we'll get in and we'll see where it goes and probably talk about some different, you know, tactical things people can take away and actually start practicing this week as well. But let everybody know a little bit about you.
Well, thank you so much for having me here, Jason. And yeah, so basically what I do, I have been a performer and a dancer and a dance educator for many years. And I have, you know, studied dance, and dance has, you know, my practice with dance has deepened. And, you know, I've discovered that dance is such a powerful, powerful tool to really get you out of your head, to get you out of all the head garbage, all the overthinking, all the self-doubt. And it helps you get you out of the future stuff that we get attached to, future fears or whatnot that can cause you to overthink and cause you to doubt yourself, or get you out of the past, right? So it gets you in the moment. And I've helped a lot of people get out of that and be with themselves and be in the moment. So anything that I do, you know, I'm a speaker. So if I go in front of a large audience, or whether it's on stage, or these days it's a lot with Zoom, you know, I get people up and moving. And I'm talking about corporate peeps. I'm talking about all different kinds of audience that they're like, what? I have to get up and move and dance? Yes. Everything I do, you know, and I talk about lots of different things. But dancing is a tool that I use everywhere I go, because every single person has danced one time in their life, whether it's at a wedding or a club or a party. You know, you get up, the music's pumping, you get out there, whether you think you're a good dancer or not. And before you know it, you're having fun, you're high-fiving your friends, your favorite song comes on, and you're out of your head, you're in the moment, and you are having so much fun that you're not thinking about all the stressors and crap in your head. So this is why, specifically, I mean, I have a lot of tools that I give to my, clients, but dancing is a really powerful one that I use. So this is how I help people. I do one-on-one sessions, I speak, and, I'm just passionate about life, and dance is one of the things that has helped me get there.
Yeah. Well, and I think because, again, you work with people that get in their head a lot. I do too. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's, it's that whole idea of past, present, future, right? If we think about those three different areas, and most of the time when we're overthinking, we're either regretting or feeling shame about things that happened in the past, or we're anxious or we're fearful about things in the future. Right. Yeah. Those tend to be the two areas, right, where we're just like ruminating over and over and over in our head. Right. It's like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? What's this person going to do? Blah, 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 blah. Right. And to stay stuck in your head there, you can kind of go a little crazy. Right.
Yeah.
And so having tools like dance, which, I think is fascinating and amazing. I mean, sociology and psychology is like fascinating for me, right? And if you think about any civilization, any group, go back to, tribal nature, anything like that, every organization or every iteration of civilization has music and they have dance. Right. And I think there's a reason for that. And especially now, in our society, we kind of get out of that, right? We might listen to some music, but how much are we actually dancing and freeing ourselves, right? Yeah. Because to me, that's where it, I'm not a great dancer. You're a professional dancer. I'm just like this awkward white guy, but it's like, dance is not just about like a formality either, right? So maybe we can talk about that a little bit, because when I was in college, one of my PE classes was ballroom dancing, right? That I took, I can actually do a waltz. I could cha-cha, and do some things like that. But for me, even then I would overthink in my head, right? It's like one, two, cha-cha-cha, right? And so I'm sitting here like trying to count the steps and everything instead of just releasing and being in the moment, right? Yeah. So maybe let's talk about that a little bit. What is dance? Can I dance when I'm even in my chair sitting here at work?
Yes.
I can?
Yes, that's allowed? You can. Yes. That's the thing, is that there's these beliefs that you're carrying about dance, because what blocks people from just moving their body is because they get stuck in their head, telling themselves whether or not I'm getting it right or wrong, whether or not I'm a good dancer or a bad dancer. Again, you're stuck in your head. But when you're, making a meal and you're cooking in the kitchen, you're listening to your fun 80s song, and all of a sudden you break out and you're moving, and then your partner comes in, your kids coming in the, the room, and they're starting dancing, you're not thinking about whether or not you're a good dancer. Because dancing helps you get out of your head, as we said, but it gets you into the feeling. So it's not a matter of you getting the steps right, it's how you feel. It's getting into that, into your body, into your intuition. And when you get out of that, and every single one of you who's listening have been there, you know what I'm talking about. Going back to the dance floor at a wedding or a club or in your kitchen or dancing, having a dance party with your family. You don't care. Like, kids are the best examples, because they don't care what anybody thinks. A song comes on and they just move. And you can do this in your car. I've done a lot of car dancing. Favorite song comes on, you're rolling down the windows, you're like, hey, and you're totally getting into it. So yeah, you could dance in your chair. You can do anything you want.
Well, because it's about that. It's like you said, there's no right or wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know my wife and I, we just rewatched Wayne's World. And there's that great scene in Wayne's World, you know, when Bohemian Rhapsody comes on and they're in the car, right? And so again, I mean, you can't get up and move around, but they're chair dancing, they're car dancing, you know, at that point. And it's, you know, again, there's no right way to do it. It's like, no, you must, you know, bob your head three times, you know, forward and then to the right. It's about, you know, and this is where, again, I still have stories and beliefs around dancing, right? And that I'm releasing, right? Because my first wife told me I was a bad dancer, so I never danced, right?
But it's the
whole idea of freeing yourself and opening yourself up, right? And I think, like you said, you know, we worry about, am I getting it wrong? But when we do that, we're in our head. And what's the story that we're telling ourselves is, oh no, if I do it wrong, people are going to laugh at me.
Exactly.
Right. So how do people kind of get past that? Because I know there's probably people that are like, yeah, but you know, if I just start moving really funny, everybody's going to look at me like I'm weird. Right.
Well, this is the beautiful thing about dance is, well, first and foremost, dance is the most vulnerable form of movement, form of exercise, because you're showing your whole body to the world. And there's a lot of stories about your body. And so you're showing yourself to everybody. And dance is it's a huge metaphor for life. It teaches you so many lessons. Just like the story that was put on you about you being a bad dancer. Like, so many people have that kind of story. Like, I was told I was a bad dancer. I can't move this way. I look, you know, like a robot, whatever it is.
Well, sometimes you want to look like a robot, right?
Oh, sometimes you do.
There's the robotic moves. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I have two left feet. I've heard it all. And that's the thing. I mean, just imagine if you let go of the stories and just enjoy life. And not be attached to what others think about you. That's why dance has, it's like I have this motto of who you are on the dance floor is who you are in life. So how do you approach the dance floor? Are you a hider? Are you somebody who's like, when the music, you know, goes on, are you the first person out there? You know, do you hide behind your friends because you don't want everyone to kind of see how you move? Do you copy everybody else? I mean, dance is life. It really is, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's because again, all those insecurities maybe that we have about dance are probably insecurities that are showing up in our life as well, right? Now, which leads me to another point, right? As I kind of geek out here a little bit on this, probably. That's what I do.
Yes.
So it's the way I operate. Right.
Yeah.
So if music is kind of that metaphor for life and how we actually show up in other parts of our life, right? Like you and I have heard, Jim, other people that we know say things like how you do one thing is how you do everything. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the great Jim Fortin for that one, right? Because that's one of those 2x4 things to my head of, oh man, that's really true, right? So if we're afraid to show up on the dance floor, then we're probably afraid to show up in other parts of our life as well, right?
Yep.
So that's probably going on. It's probably holding us back in some way, you know, and whether you realize it or not, you're being held back because of some of these beliefs, right? So there's so many people that are like, yeah, but you know, I want to do it different in these other parts of my life. I want to be a different, you know, partner, a different, you know, father, mother, whatever, parent, right? But they have a hard time showing up there. So does this also mean that if we show up on the dance floor differently, and if we're able to release some of those stories and just be our authentic self, even for a few minutes, as I'm dancing around the kitchen listening to Dancing Queen, because I will tell you, that is one of those songs that you can't listen to and not want to move, right?
Yep.
So if we can do that even for just a few minutes, does that actually help us in those other parts of our life to be a better partner, to be a better parent, to be a better, you know, executive, leader, whatever it happens to be, can some of those little practice things that we do help us in those other areas?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you are on the dance floor and there's always that girl or guy who's off in their own corner and they're doing their whole thing, they're doing their whole dance thing and they're free and they don't give a crap what people think, whether they're a good dancer or bad, it doesn't even matter. But it's always that one person that stands out. And I don't know about you, but I've always admired that person because they don't give a crap what people think. And when you watch them, they're in joy. And that is one of the biggest benefits when you can tap into your authentic self and get out of all your head crap, get out of your way, and you're moving your body and you're totally connected to joy. You are connected to something higher than you. You're connected to your higher self and you are coming home to who you really are. So if you can have doses of that, yeah, like imagine what it's like, what it's going to be like for you to show up in your relationships and your work and your job. You start to really become unblocked and to move through those walls that have kept you trapped of being insecure and really caring what people think about you. That's really the number one, I think, fear of why people think they're a good dancer or a bad dancer, or not, why they're not fully, you know, becoming unleashed on the dance floor of life.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're afraid of the judgment.
Totally.
Of what other people are going to say now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, again, it's like the pointing thing though, right? We think that we're concerned about what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really that.
No.
We're concerned about how we think about ourselves based on what other people think of us, right? And there's a big difference.
Exactly.
Right. And sometimes that's a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah.
As well, to realize, you know, it's that self-love.
Yeah.
If you will. Right. And the fact that, like you said, I mean, when you are, especially today, we get taught that we need to control things. And mm-hmm. by controlling things, you're safe. But there is no real control. There is no, it is an illusion of control. And the more that we can free ourselves, mm-hmm. and like you said, actually be who we are, I think that's mm-hmm. a great way of describing it, right? It's like,
yeah.
It's like we're different people in different settings,
mm-hmm.
right? But the more we can just be with who we really are, instead of trying to filter ourselves, instead of trying to impress other people or do any of these other things, right? That's who I am. Yeah. That's who I need to be more, right?
Yeah.
And so doing these now, you know, again, I'm sure that, you know, as people are going to try this, they're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I should go out and try dancing, right? Well, probably the first thing you're not going to do is go down to like the exclusive, you know, dance club in Hollywood and go out on the dance floor, right? I mean, so what are some ways that you kind of help people incorporate this or try it out? Because for me, it's one of those things. It's like, just try it out, right?
Yeah,
what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. And if you are somebody who, you know, really works on yourself and you have a bunch of tools that you use, you know, this is just another tool to put in your toolkit. And it just takes 5 minutes. You know your favorite songs that gets you up and moving. Like you said, Dancing Queen, you know, find your favorite song, put it on. And if you work at home or you have a break in your day where you need to shift, this is the thing about dancing and moving your body. It shifts you. It shifts the energy. When you feel stagnant, when you feel a little bit tired, when you feel like you're, especially if you are, you know, sinking into stress and anxiety, it is a major stress reliever. Because the thing about anxiety, stress and anxiety, is that you are being so attached to the future fears of what's going to happen 2 seconds from now that you forget about who you are in the moment. So this is why moving your body and just getting up, putting on your headphones, and just dance your heart out. Give yourself the permission. If you've been told you've been a bad dancer, if you think you are a bad dancer, just get over it. It's not about that. You are just with yourself. Just dance, be in the moment, and just go for it. And that's what I start with when I tell people what to do. And it's a tool that people use and they feel so much better about themselves.
Well, and it's one of those things that, like you said, it's little. I mean, you can do it for 1 minute. You can do it for 5 minutes. You can do it for 10 minutes. Right. And there's also, you know, again, cause I tell a lot of people, because we're very sedentary now in our lifestyle. Right. I mean, I sit in this chair for hours at a time. Right. But we all need to get up and move every so often. And there's a reason, you know, like you said, it's a hemispheral shift. There's literally, by getting up and moving or doing something, you end up kind of recalibrating your brain. It's like pause, reset. Mm-hmm. So you need to get up anyway, probably, right? Yeah. And research says it's usually every 40 to 50 minutes, you should get up and move a little bit.
Yep.
So if you're going to get up and move a bit anyway, why not try it out, right? Yep. What's the worst that could happen?
Yep.
You know, you'll feel a little awkward at first. So, you know, close your door. You know, do it when nobody's around, right? Until you get more comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's the worst that could happen? But what's the best that could happen as well, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, I think probably everybody who is listening has had some experience at some point in your life when you just felt free. Mm-hmm. You felt that joy. Mm-hmm. You felt that happiness, and it literally is an endorphin rush and a bunch of other stuff too, right? But you felt that way before, right?
Yeah.
And since you felt that way before, don't you think you can feel that way again?
Yeah, it's a gift.
It's a gift, and it's one of the easy ways to do it, right? So, worst case, you feel a little awkward. Best case, you just feel amazing.
Yeah.
For those few minutes when you're doing it.
Yeah. And also I want to say is that, have you ever seen somebody who's maybe not a great dancer, but they're so confident when they move that you just don't even care about how they're moving, because you're seeing their confidence, you're seeing their power. And the reason why they're powerful is because they don't care what people think. They're up there dancing, doing it for themselves. And you're like, I want to be that person. And that's what it's about. And it does open up amazing lessons. So if you're starting to dance and you feel awkward, notice those thoughts that come in your head. Notice like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling insecure. And be like, take your power back. And know that you're just by yourself. You know?
It doesn't matter. We can
it doesn't
be like,
matter.
Woo, woo.
And notice if you've been somebody who has been attached to perfectionism, attached to like, I'm doing this wrong. Where does that come from? And is it true? And is that really who you are? No, that's all bullshit stories. Oop, I swore, but that's okay.
That's okay. That's we all. Can say fucking shit and whatever on here.
Woo, fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just all bullshit. So it gives you the power to move through those stories and move through the stuff that was put on you that's not even yours.
Well, because that's what happens so much of the time, right? It gets put on us.
Totally.
And then we choose to accept it, right? So just again, like I accepted what my ex-wife had said to me. Mm-hmm. Shit, this would have been like 25, 30 years ago.
It stays with you.
And it's stays crazy. It stays with me, but it only stays with me because I chose.
You allow it.
To allow it and to believe it, right? Yeah. And so again, it's like, I'm a great dancer. Right. I'm a great dancer. I mean, you can affirm yourself into it as well too.
Yeah.
But you just get up and actually do it. Right. Because again, it's the you know, it's interesting because we talked about past, present, future, right? Mm-hmm. And part of this is to try to get us into the present. Because when you think about linear times like that, we can only be in one linear time at a time, right? So right now I'm in the present talking with you. Right. My mind is not going to, what am I going to eat for lunch? I don't care. I'm right here. I'm talking to you. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can only be in one of those linear times. It's the same thing when you think about, you know, if you're one of those people that's getting stuck in your head and you want to get out of your head, well, guess what? There's three areas of your body that you can be in as well, your head, your heart, and your gut. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to be in your head anymore, feel with your heart or move with your gut and your body, and dance is one of those perfect ways. And I think dance is great because it's both feeling and doing as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it can go, I mean, it goes deep, you know, it can heal those past traumas or messages that were put on you. It does so much healing when you're in the moment and you're moving and you're letting go. You soon discover that you are moving into self-acceptance. You're accepting you for you, and you're accepting your body. And, you know, that is something that's been separated, because a lot of people are, like I said, it's a very vulnerable thing, because people don't want to be judged on the way they look and how they're moving their body. And, you know, your whole, in our society, we grow up with, like, you are validated on the way you look. I know for women specifically. So, you know, when you're out with a group of people and you're moving, this is why a lot of people have to have a few cocktails before they get on the dance floor. Yeah, because they want to not think about these things. They don't want to feel judged. They want to have that head, that stuff in their head, to be removed and be numbed out so that they can be free. So this is the beautiful thing about moving, is that there, like I said, there's some lessons, and it gets deeper, and it gets into your spirit, and it gets into your soul. And this is why centuries ago, there were tribal dances, and dance was a way of life, and music was a way of life, because it does something to your soul. You're connecting with who you are, like, on a deep level. So
yeah, and I think that's one of those things that we've lost in our current society.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I love talking about this kind of stuff, because, you know, again, it's like, sometimes we think we're smarter than people that lived a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will tell you, folks, we are stupider than people that lived, you know, a long time ago. Because, you know, again, it's like, I get a lot of people that feel like, well, you know, now we have the data, now we can, you know, make all of these scientific and mathematical calculations, and we can determine blah, 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 right? And I don't need instinct anymore, and never go with your gut. I mean, I hear people say this all the time, and I'm, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, so you want to throw out millions of years of human evolution that has got us to this point?
Yeah. All the wisdom
that has been wisdom. Learned. All of the growth and the other thing, because again, history leaves clues, right? Mm-hmm. And so again, like you said, every society has had music and dance incorporated, and that has been a very integral part of the society.
Yeah,
it allows us to tap into ourselves, to become, you know, to remember who we are, to be our authentic self. Mm-hmm. And so again, this is just one of those tools for you to be able to do it. Yeah. Don't throw out, right, what all of these past generations for millions of years have been trying to teach us and program into our body.
Yeah.
Let's just keep using some of those same tools.
Yeah. Yeah. If meditation is mainstream and yoga is mainstream, everyone's flocking to yoga and meditation, so conscious reprogramming, EFT tapping, like, these are tools, journaling. This is just another powerful tool that a lot of people overlook. I'm like, it's in you. Your body is designed. Your body's designed to move.
Yeah.
And if you're somebody who does not like to go running and different forms of exercise, you have this. This is free. It's free dancing.
Well, and it's great exercise. I mean, yeah. Again, so you know, you can sit there and say, well, I'm gonna go walk, or I'm gonna go run for a little while. Well, you try dancing hard for 30 minutes, you're gonna get a way better cardio, you know, exercise out of it than doing some of these other things. So, you know, it might not be right for you, but it might be exactly right for you as well. Like you said, you've just got lots of different tools. It's something that's easy. It's quick. I do a little chair dance stuff every so often.
Yeah. Shoulder shimmy.
Let's go. Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm a great dancer, because that's a story that I'm going to start programming to myself as well. And, you know, cause I've been listening to music a lot and I've been practicing actually feeling the music. Right. So we can listen to music,
but feel it.
but we can also feel music, and there's a difference, right? And now I'm going to start incorporating some more movement. So even if you have a fear of dance, call it movement or whatever else.
I usually call it movement because it's a trigger word for some people. I'm like, whoa. And you know, when I do live events and, you know, I'm in front of a few hundred people and they don't know that I'm going to get them up and moving for the first thing. Oh my gosh. You see half the people like a deer in headlights. And then you have the half, they're like, woo! And they're
let's like, go. Yeah.
What are we doing? And then after like 2 or 3 minutes, everyone's all into it. You know, they're like, oh my, you know, I use fun favorite pop songs. They know their song and they get up and I'm like, just let go. I really move them quickly. Because when we dance after 5 or 6 minutes and they sit down, everyone's shifted and everyone's like, oh my God, I'm excited for this presentation. And then I weave in dance throughout the presentation. But that's the power of it. It's just, it's remarkable. And yeah, like, and the thing is, if you're totally against this, this is what I suggest. Go for a walk, but put on your favorite music, pump and playlist, go for a walk. You're going to start to feel it in your body and you're going to be like on the sidewalk, walking out in public. And all of a sudden you're going to bust out into some kind of move because you can't help it. So I said, start there, you know, to get you out of your head. At least you're incorporating some kind of movement with some music that you love. And then that's how it begins.
Well, like you said, because you can just start incorporating it into what you're already doing.
Yeah.
Right. And it's only a couple minutes. Try it out for 30 days, right? Mm-hmm. See if it works for you. Mm-hmm. But you know, again, if you don't try it, you're never going to know.
Yeah.
But you might try it. And again, experience that joy, you know, and as you were talking about that, even with the exercising, because I remember I used to, when I was running more frequently, I used to have a playlist and one of the songs that would come on was Led Zeppelin's Kashmir. And there's a bass beat to that.
Yeah.
And it's like, right. That would help me kind of, you know, get excited and pumping and my feet would actually hit the ground on those beats.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what you're talking about. So even that, it's not dance, but it's movement with music, which does the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's extraordinary amount of benefits. I mean, it raises your vibration so high that at that level, what I teach women is you can start manifesting and creating the things that you want. So when you're in that state and you're thinking about how you want your day to unfold, to how you want your week to unfold, to what you want to create today or this week or this month or this year, you can start seeing your goals and your visions and your dreams. Because you're on that high state and you're feeling so good, it's like that's a window for you to be like, I can use this and start saying some positive things. Like I think a powerful affirmation that I've used with my clients is I am a confident dancer. Because if you say you're a great dancer, it's great. But being attached to what is a great dancer is different for everybody. But just feeling confident in your body, you see yourself show up as confident in every area of your life. And being confident to move your feet to create the things that you want to bring into your life. Do you see how dance just opens up all these lessons and all these benefits? It's crazy.
Well, it does. And that, you know, behavior or way of being, being confident is one of those habits that when you develop, it makes all the difference, right? Because again, think about if you do something feeling confident, versus doing something when you don't feel so confident. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference in the result? Of course there is, right? And again, just like Jen said, you know, you can get up in the morning and think about this, because again, everybody, you've gone through this, right? Is you get up some mornings and you're like, oh, I'm so tired. I can't believe I have to do this, blah, 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 right? So you're down in that lower emotional spectrum, vibrational area. Mm-hmm. How do you think your day is going to go? Well, most of the time when you get up and you start your day that way, it ends up being a shitty day, right? Mm-hmm. What's different if you get up in the morning, you're excited, you're happy, you felt some of that joy, you get up, you do a little dance in the morning, you're feeling really great, and then you think about or set an intention for your day.
Exactly.
How does your day go then? much different, right?
Yeah.
So why not? Why allow circumstance and the self-doubt and the overthinking to be what rules your life? Is that really what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want something that you are in control of, where you're feeling more confident and you're getting the results that you want?
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you. It's just that little shift, right?
It is. And one of the most, just listening to you, what I want to say about overthinking specifically, overthinking and self-doubt, you know, when you are stuck in that, what you're really saying to yourself is you don't trust yourself. So trust comes from listening to your instinct, listening to your intuition. And you're so more powerful than you think you are. And you've been trained, because I was somebody who was so attached to self-doubt. I kept doubting of what I can create in this life. I kept doubting my power, doubting who I was. And I was so attached to that. I lived in that place because it was comfortable. Because I knew if I started to trust myself and get out of that, my head and into my heart, I would have to move through the uncomfortableness, move through the stuff that I know I needed to do to get me to the place where I was out of my head. Living in your head, it's costing you so much. And so when you learn to trust yourself, that is how you become your powerful self. That is how you remember who you are when you came to this planet. And through movement, through tools, through working on yourself, opens that up for you. So that's like the bottom line that I learned from experience, is learning when you're dancing and getting out of your head, you're learning to trust yourself. Because when you're moving your body, there's no choreography put on you. You are just trusting whatever movements come through you. You're just being guided. You don't know what you're going to do with your hands. You just go with it. It's totally based on how you feel. It's motion. It's energy in motion. It's a mindfulness technique. And so that is what trust is. And that's what trust taught me, is through dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, I love talking to you.
Yes.
No, this is, you know, and again, I mean, it's, that's why I wanted you to, you know, come on and talk, because, hey, everybody, I needed to hear this too. Okay. So thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
But it's, you know, again, it's just another tool in the toolbox. Try it out. Mm-hmm. It might not be for you, but it might be exactly the thing that you need. Mm-hmm. Right. Because again, do you want to feel more confident? I'm guessing so. I mean, most people that I talk to, that's one of the things that they really struggle with.
Yeah.
Is they want to feel more confident. So why not try it out?
Yeah.
Dance a little bit in your office, in your car, when nobody's looking at first. Mm-hmm. Just trust yourself. Allow the movements to come through you. Mm-hmm. Allow your instinct and intuition to take over, because, you know, I'll second what you just said, Jen. When we stay in our head, we are very constricted in our views, right? And we just stay trapped there.
Yeah.
And I see so many people that say stay trapped in their life because they stay trapped in their head.
Absolutely.
And it's the point when you finally move out by using some of these different mindfulness techniques or other things like that to get you out of your head. Mm-hmm. That's when the transformation happens.
Yes.
That's when you connect back to your authentic self. Right. Yeah. That's another term that a lot of people throw out there. Mm-hmm. Is authentic. Well, be authentic with yourself by using some of these things, and you're going to be amazed at what comes through. Because amazed. I think, like you said, Jen, we are much more powerful than we realize. And when we remember, your power returns.
Yep.
So
it's magical.
It is magical. It is magical. Well, Jen, any final thoughts before we cut out and let everybody get back to their day?
No, I just, like you said, try it out. Just allow it. Don't allow the excuses of I don't have enough time. You do have the time. It's not even about time. It's about you just committing to this. And just start with 5 minutes a day. You know, incorporate it with your daily life. You know, take a break from being behind the desk. Do it in the car. and just notice the shift and notice what's come through you and just have fun.
Yeah, have fun with it and be committed with it. You know, be committed for 30 days at least, right? Just do a little bit, whatever you're going to do for 30 days. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, if you are consistent at the end of the 30 days, you will see a difference in your life.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen it. Other people that I've worked with have seen it. Jen, you've mm-hmm. seen it. People you mm-hmm. work with have seen it too, right? So again, don't do this half-ass. Don't just go, oh, I'm going to try it once or twice, right? Actually be committed to it. Be committed to do it for 30 days, but you will see a difference.
Yep, absolutely.
You will see a difference. So Jen, thank you, my friend. You know, if people want to reach out to you, how is the best way for people to reach out to you if they want to know more?
My Instagram, I live on the gram. So Jen.
You live on Instagram.
Yes, at Jen Stillion. It's like million with STI in front of it. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
All right. You're on the grams. You're on the grams. All right. Well, thanks again, Jen. Like I said, it's I needed to hear it. And I know there's lots of people listening that needed to hear this exact message too when they're hearing it as well. So thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Jamming with Jason. Keep on rocking in the audit world. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share with your friends and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what you enjoyed the most about the podcast, and you may even be featured on a future episode. When you're ready to turbocharge your leadership development, join the Briefing Leadership Program, where you get access to everything in one place and can interact directly with me in the group. If you'd like to earn continuing professional education for listening to today's episode, head on over to C-Risk Academy's video on-demand learning platform at ondemand.criskacademy.com. Not only do you get a CPE certificate, but you will also have access to hundreds of video on-demand learning opportunities. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are that of the individuals and not of their respective organizations.